it's time for our latest My Marriage Matters conversation with our friends Joe and Cindy Farini and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Welcome back, you two.
All right.
How are you guys doing?
Good. So pop quiz for Joe, since his wife is listening and we all know it. Joe, how long did you date before you got married to Cindy?
Well, we had a pretty special relationship, actually. We dated for about, I would say, 7 months, and then we were engaged for 4 months. And then we got married.
Wow. How old were you?
I was 25 when I got married.
Yeah.
And so we both came out of a broken relationship. Neither one of us were married before, but we came out of a pretty long dating slash engagement period. And we both broke off those relationships. And it was about a period of about two and a half years. And we kind of circled around and came back. We actually knew each other in high school. Mm-hmm. And she dated a friend of mine. She became engaged to that guy. And I dated a friend of hers, and I became engaged to that girl. And neither did we know that we both broke off our engagements. And we re-met about 2.5 years later. And I saw her across this very crowded room, and I said to myself, that's one beautiful woman there, and I'm going to go get to know her. And it turns out it was.
And she couldn't resist you.
Apparently not. Well, actually, she could.
She
tells the story. she was expressing to me how happy she was that God was calling her to singleness. And I'm thinking, well, this is not starting off real good here.
Yeah.
Did he get the timeline right, Cindy?
Yeah, that was very good.
Joe,
when we met at church. I was way in the back of the church. He was way in the front. And apparently, of course, he didn't tell me this that day, but told me later that the Lord really spoke to him and said, as he was walking out of the church, she's the one. And I had invited him to my apartment with all of my single women friends. We were all having a brunch, and I said, you know, why don't you just come over and we can, continue our conversation. And so here I was bringing him to all these, available young women. I had no thought in my head, not for him or anybody else to date. I really was happy being single. And so I thought, well, Joe, was a nice guy in high school. I'd just come on over. We'll have a conversation. So as we talked, of course, the story is now, as I'm talking about how nice it is to be single and I love the Lord and this is a great life. And he said, Lord, you apparently haven't spoken to her yet. or she's not listening.
So was it a particular line like, boy, you must be tired. You've been running through my mind all day. That kind of got you. What changed everything, Cindy?
Well, that would have turned me right off for sure. we just got along so well. We had nice conversation. There is something about having a background that somebody and you kind of know a little bit about them. That makes it a little easier as you begin dating, I think, as opposed to just you just met this person someplace and then you begin dating. You have all this to learn about them. So I don't know that there was any one thing, but I do recall him saying, it was not too far into our dating relationship, and he said, I'm very interested in you, and, I love you, and I would really like us to talk about, considering marriage. And I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. And he said, just let me know when you are. And that was very good on one hand, because I didn't feel the pressure. But on the other hand, I did feel the pressure, because now if I wanted to talk about it, I had to bring it up. So, but it was good, because I didn't want to have that, I want to get married right now. I did not have that feeling at all, like a lot of young girls who just can't wait to get married. I knew the seriousness of it, especially after dating somebody for 8 years. Yeah. I thought, I don't want to, I don't want this to be that. So, yeah.
Excellent. I love the story. Thanks for letting us into that. And I feel like my summary then was pretty spot on, as in yada, 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 Joe was irresistible.
That's absolutely correct.
Right.
I like to think that way. Yeah, for sure.
So with all that in mind and all of your ministry work with family life, how long do you think a couple should date before they get married?
Joe, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm sure. Of course, it's a great question, but we would never say 6 months, 3 days, and, you know, 24 hours, whatever. But I think we want to generically say, basically, what Neil Warren once said in his book, Finding the Love of Your Life. He said, you know, a great marriage requires two healthy people, and the time to get healthy is before you get married. And so I think the couple, if we were to advise them and sit down with them, which we've done for many people, is that they just need to continually determine whether they are right for each other. And that's going to require the couple really looking realistically at some really important issues. And as Ron mentioned earlier, I think there's no substitute for really good, strong, biblical, premarital counseling and mentoring before considering marriage. And the important thing is that you clearly know each other's hearts. You're on God's basic blueprint, his plan for building strong marriages. And, you know, if you're working off of two different sets of blueprints, trying to think you're going to build a strong marriage, I mean, what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so I think you need to come to a good understanding as to what is it that is God's plan for building strong marriages. And if I was to have one shot at this couple, I would say it would be really important to look at the marriage vows and make sure, go through each of them. You know, are you really ready to say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, no matter what God might put in front of you? You know, are you really ready to say I'm committed to you? And when a couple is seriously dating, that's just a good time to test that commitment by just openly discussing with each other these tough questions. And they just need to understand the seriousness of what they're entering into. I mean, they need to understand that they're not just planning for a wedding, they're planning for a marriage. And so they need to be prepared as much as possible for that journey that they're about to engage in.
Cindy?
I'd like to add to that. First of all, I agreed with everything that Joe says, and I think it's really one size doesn't fit all. So we have to take things, if you will, by a person-by-person, couple-by-couple story. But we have to realize that dating and marriage are two different things. In today's society, a lot of people play marriage before they really get married, and so they don't really know what dating and getting to know you is. They get to know each other more sexually than they do personally, emotionally, and that is very damaging. But that could be a conversation for another day. But one of the things that I think is important is dating someone. We dated about a year between when we first re-met to when we married. And I think it's important to see somebody through all seasons, but not just winter, spring, summer, fall, but also, you know, have you gone through some kind of a crisis in terms of, let's just say, has there been a death in the family that you've had to watch how the other person will support you, or some other crisis? That doesn't have to be that. But, you know, what are the things that will help you someday when you do marry to know how will that person be for you and with you? I think really a longer courtship is often better, but a shorter engagement. And I think sometimes if people wait too long during their engagement, they tend to, you know, consider backing out because more things begin to surface. And you're going to have things in marriage that you have to deal with. And I remember standing up in front of the church and going through our vows, and I remember thinking so naively, oh, there'll never be a problem between rich and poor. Mm-hmm. No, there'll never be a for better or worse, you know. But we'll all hit them. We all will. And yet, you know, the Lord has given us 42 years to weather those storms, and we've done them together.
Yeah. Many times people who delay, like you said, marriage is because things do resurface. How do you not kind of avoid marriage because of unrealistic expectations? Like, we know we're not going to find the perfect person. So what things are valid to say, okay, I gotta be concerned about this one?
Yeah, great question. You know, we do a lot of counseling with folks who are going into a remarriage situation. So maybe that might be a good way to start this answer here. And one of the questions we ask them who are entering into a remarriage is the hard question of what really went wrong in my first marriage and what role did I play in that? And I think, once again, once we get through some of those really difficult questions, I think we need to really begin to help people understand that, you know, they're entering into a covenant relationship with God. and you know, with them, their spouse, and God, and they're not entering into a contractual relationship. And there's a lot there, what I just said, but I think that they just need to understand that there are some just major issues that need to be flushed out. And again, knowing each other's hearts involves understanding some of their history. And some wise counsel I received recently as well was, you know, if you only have a short engagement period, a short dating period, you know, spend some time observing your future spouse interaction with their parents. Do they love and respect their parents? Because I can guarantee you, don't be fooled. How they treat their parents will eventually be manifested in their marriage. So it's not like you have to spend 20 years trying to figure this one out. Watch how they, the dynamics of that relationship, because that's going to be really an important thing to keep in mind for your future marriage. Cindy?
Yeah, I want to add, too, you know, that's a great question. And we have to realize that when we go into marriage, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. But if we can try before marriage, during our dating, to try to talk about as many things as we can, like how will we handle money? What are we going to do when we have in-law problems? How will we handle communication? A lot of those really important things, you'll be a step ahead than if you don't discuss any of those things. But we have to also realize that every single one of our marriages is probably going to have something for which we are having to really support one another, cling to the Lord. You know, Joe and I never, ever in a million years would have thought, talked about, even considered that we would ever have a child with special needs. And that has changed our whole life and our whole marriage, and in many ways for the good, but in many ways for a lot of challenges. So I would say to couples, you know, in part of the process of discussion, maybe throw out a couple of conversations like, what if? And just fill in the blank with, what if? How would we handle this if this happens? And I'll tell you what, some people wouldn't be in for the long haul if they had certain situations. They probably would not want to go that way.
And that's what good biblical counseling will do.
Yeah.
It will present those hard questions and get it flushed out. And one caution, and this might go along with your question there, Janelle, is that, you know, if you're thinking, well, that didn't sound right. I didn't like your answer for that. And if you're thinking, I'm going to change my spouse after I get married, let me recommend to you that you want to go into marriage marrying that person as is, because for the rest of your life. Because if you want to change that person, don't marry that person. Because those little things that just kind of rub you the wrong way, they just get worse with time.
Yeah.
Of course, Cindy had none of those. But you're just saying, what if?
No, really. I was really good.
Yeah. So now we have just a few minutes left. I'm curious, for the parents listening with older children, what are some of those questions you all asked your son-in-laws as they expressed interest in marrying your beautiful daughters?
Well, oh, yeah. I got some good one on this one. But
I bet you do.
Yeah, I can tell you, just to kind of sum it up real quick, is that both of my son-in-laws allowed me the privilege to disciple them and to spend time with them one-on-one in a small group setting. And it really was a good experience, I would say. I think they would say that as well, that this was a good experience for them. And but it really was, it was helpful for them to get to know me as well as me to get to know them as well. So that's what the short answer for, you know, the time I spent with my son-in-laws. But it was very intentional and very purposeful. Again, you don't want to sweep it under the rug and say, well, they're going to be all right, they'll work it out. No, you can figure out some good information there just by spending time with them.
What about the basics, though, Joe? Like, do you have a job? How will you take care of my daughter?
Yes, sir. Yeah, those are really good questions to ask. And I think we did talk about those issues.
Okay.
And just to realize that, you know, I came to realize that if, God forbid, something happens to them and they just can't get through their career goals, both of my son-in-laws are strong enough mentally, physically, spiritually, that if they had to go work at wherever, they would go do that to support my daughters and to support their family. So when I was convinced that they were willing to step up in their game and provide for them, then I felt better as well, giving them kind of my blessings. So it's a good question, but I think I felt pretty good that they were going to do the job.
What about you, Cindy?
Well, you know, you see patterns in people, and no matter who you meet, it doesn't take long to recognize a few patterns. The longer you know them, the more patterns you'll see. Both of our son-in-laws were hard workers. They were good students. They worked hard through school. And so we saw a lot of really good potential there. And so that I think is important. But one thing that I would like to just share, and well, this was kind of a funny part, because Joe likes graphs, and anytime he can see a graph, he just really gets, you know, a clearer picture of things. So when we knew that the guys were kind of ramping up to go talk to Joe, I said, if you take a graph and you somehow sell him on this graph, I'm just going to tell you, he'll say yes in just a minute. You know?
did Nathan come with a graph?
Oh,
well,
very extensive.
That's the story. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a story. Just I'll try to
tell
you
real quickly.
But, you know, they were on their way just steps before getting engaged. And then to shorten the story, they broke up. And then Kathleen went to Chicago to pursue her career and was doing well there. And because of how things went with the breakup, we had said to Kathleen, you know, if he calls you, if he should call you, we would like to request. Now, she was already like 23, 24. We couldn't be telling her what to do, really. But we said, if you would, we would really like for him to call Dad first before he calls you. Because there were a few things we felt like we would need to say, really, to protect our daughter from maybe entering into a relationship again and having it end the same way. So that's exactly what happened. He called her. She said, please call my dad first within 30 seconds. Because she said, you know, he called. So we said, okay. And he called Joe right away. And then he asked to meet us. And we probably had an hour or two where we sat on our deck. And he just went through in such a mature way of saying, you know, how he had really ended that relationship wrongly and how much he loved our daughter. His intention was to marry her. Would he have permission from us to give her a call? He was so mature in the way he did it. And we just knew that the timing was much more right. And I'll tell you, it was probably harder for him to come to us and have that conversation than the one when he actually said, can I marry your daughter?
I bet. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Nathan Zion Esquire, attorney at law.
Yes.
So
that's right.
I'm not surprised he did that and passed with flying colors. I wish we had more time to chat about this, but I know you all have wonderful resources available through your ministry. Joe and Cindy Farini, My Marriage Matters. How can folks get connected to you?
Well, we would love to have them come to our My Marriage Matters Facebook page. But also, I heard just before we came on that Family Life has a nice little blurb about the 30th anniversary celebration that we're having here in Cleveland, which is a Family Life weekend to remember. It will be October 29th, 30th, and 31st. And nicely, it's going to be at the Embassy in Independence. So no traffic or difficulties that way. But I'll tell you what, it's going strong here in Cleveland. We'd love to have you. If you come to our My Marriage Matters page, we'll probably be having some coupons and specials and things that will be helpful. So come on over there and join us.
Fantastic. We always love our time with you, Joe and Cindy Farini. God bless
you.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.